When I'm Lost in Darkness by X Jane, read by Cookie Mom 6067. The old lady, who assisted Maryam Alkazani with her first birth, had been lyrical about the crescent moon in the palm of the baby's left hand. "Such a fortuitous place for a soul mark," she had exclaimed. "And a crescent moon, too. He will be blessed beyond belief with the love that brings good fortune." Yusuf's father, Ibrahim, thanked Allah profusely over and over again for his radiant son. Yusuf brought laughter to their house and mirth and much, much love. He was quick-witted and smart and loved to bounce on his father's knee as he watched him work or listened to his stories. The talk about Yusuf's soul mark didn't stop when he grew up, either. Everybody told him how great a mark it was, what good times lay ahead for him, how many blessings his soulmate would heap upon him. It wasn't any wonder that Yusuf fell in love with his mate long before they even met, that he composed poem after poem for his moon, that he sketched the moon thousands of times, or tried to imagine a hand with the corresponding symbol on it. His friends and family indulged him, saying, "Ah, Al-Tayyib, he's an incurable romantic, but who can blame him? He will have a love to rival anyone else's." But the years went by, and all the tales about how Yusuf would have a blessed time with his soulmate, a great love to shame all the old stories, grew bitter and cruel the longer Yusuf remained alone. Across the sea, Nicola was the 11th child in a family that could barely spare enough food for the mouths already there, let alone the tiny babe who nearly killed his mother. His oldest sister, Ana Maria, took pity on him when their mother's milk dried and fed him with a wet rag stuck into a tin pewter full of goat's milk. Little Nicolo had a son on his right hand, intricate and colorful. Ana Maria told him it was important, that it would help him recognize his soulmate. But Nicolo was too young to understand and merely remembered it was a good sign, a sign that happiness and joy existed, even if he couldn't always see the sun through the dark clouds. Ana Maria married her soulmate when Nicky was a child still, and nobody was left to spare him any attention. When his mother died shortly after, his father decided the burden of his youngest son, so slow and quiet, was too much for a widower to bear, and Nicolo was sent to the monastery. Nicolo hoped he might become a priest one day as he grew up, thinking about the sun hidden between his hands folded in prayer. Maybe God was the sun, Nicolo thought, as the earliest rays of dawn reached the stained glass window of the chapel where he was kneeling. But it turned out the Pope had more use for him as a soldier, strong and broad-shouldered as he was, with arms muscled from chopping wood and carrying water for the monks. The moon was hidden by the smoke from Al-Quds on the night Yusuf died. His eyes were cold and hard, and the words of the villagers in Madia, in awe of the enormous blessing that awaited him, seemed to taunt him. There was no hope in a place like this, no love. There was only stench and tears and blood, so much blood. An invader yelled something as Yusuf Saif found another pale throat and more blood splattered on his turban. Then he turned to the sound and saw Frank running towards him, nearly tripping over fallen bodies of friend and foe alike, his worn boots slipping in the mud and gore. But his sword was heavy, and he wielded it expertly, aiming straight for Yusuf. And Yusuf was so weary, so tired, so angry at all the empty promises of his soul mark that he nearly didn't move. As it was, he did, but likely too late. The tip of the sword pierced his side, and Yusuf felt something warm and wet spreading on his skin as the Frank pulled back. However, Yusuf's Saif was light and lethal, and he hit his attacker in the soft flesh of the throat. The invader's scream died on his tongue as the pale eyes in his red-burned face went wide, and he sagged to the ground. Grimly, Yusuf watched him die, until his knees buckled and he joined his killer on the soggy ground of the battlefield. So much for being blessed, he thought, as he automatically turned his palm up to stare at the inked symbol. But to his horror, it faded fast, until it disappeared completely. He had heard of this, of course. Soulmates weren't guaranteed to meet, and fate sometimes intervened in the cruelest way possible. Well, Yusuf thought, dizzy with blood loss, it was fitting to lose his soulmate to death just as he was about to die, too. Maybe he was blessed, as old Noor had claimed all those years ago, after all. Nicola was certain he had died. He had felt the curved blade of the defender slice his throat, had felt his heartbeat slow down to nothing, had felt his lungs fill with blood as he drowned slowly. Yet here he was, gasping for breath. Air filled his lungs, expanding them until all that was left from his previous nightmare was the coppery taste of blood in his mouth. He traced the soft flesh of his throat with trembling, dirty fingers. Nothing. There was no gaping hole, no ragged skin and lilting flesh, not even the ridged scar of a wound that somehow impossibly it had healed. He had to be in heaven, except heaven felt remarkably like earth, with billowing smoke acridly wafting over the field, cold mud seeping into Niccolo's torn clothes and chilling his core, and the screams of the dying in his ears. Hell, then. It would make sense. The Pope had assured that whoever died fighting the Holy War would be forgiven of all sins, but Niccolo hadn't ever really counted on it. His sins surely were worse than most. He bowed his head in shame, and his gaze fell onto the colorful mark on his palm. It was caked with blood and mud, but Nicky didn't need to see it to know it was there. Such vanity, to think he might be destined for joy, might be loved by someone beyond all others, when not even his own mother had found it in her to do so. When his own father had seen him for the burden he was and sent him far away, like Icarus, Niccolo thought. He'd heard the story of the boy who fell from the sky from the sailor on the ship that had carried him here. Niccolo, with the sun on his hand, had surely flown too close to it, had dreamed too loftily, had thought too highly of himself. Prideful, foolish man. No wonder he ended up here, surrounded by demons and doomed to relive this battle for eternity. As on schedule, suddenly the man who had killed him, who Niccolo had been sure was dead in turn, wheezed horribly, drawing breath. A demon, then. Niccolo's punishment. Fight this demon for 1,000 years until Jesus returned to pass his final judgment. Fight him and kill him and be killed by him over and over again. It sounded like, well, it sounded like hell. Niccolo barked out a short huff of laughter and grasped his sword, pressing the sun in his palm firmly on the hilt as he stood up, looming over the demon. The latter stared at him with wide, spooked eyes. You were dead. Niccolo's grasp of the common tongue was sketchy at best, but nobody lived through an army march and several battles and months of siege without picking up certain words. Dead was definitely one of those. So were you, he spat. And then for good measure, in Latin, because his vocabulary didn't stretch that far, demon. With that, he made to stab his tormentor through the heart. He had no qualms about killing a demon when he was lying in the mud, unarmed, but the demon rolled away at the last moment. So be it. Niccolo would wait until the demon stood up, and they would fight then. It mattered not one bit. Niccolo would be warring with this demon for an endless amount of time. A brief respite would not change a thing. Yusuf's head pounded. He had watched the pale-eyed invader die, blood oozing from his throat in red spurts. He was at least certain of that. He would also swear an oath on dying himself. Yet here he was, rolling away from a dead man's sword. Maybe the wound had not been that bad, he tried to reason. Maybe he had fainted because of exhaustion and hunger. Maybe the bleeding had stopped and Yusuf had woken up from his unconsciousness. But deep inside, he knew better. He had been dead. He had died. And he had been dead, and now he was alive. And the invader, now standing ready with his sword, as if waiting for Yusuf to pick up his safe, had done the same. It made no sense. Maybe it was a gift from Allah, he briefly considered. Maybe Allah had granted him a second life to better defend Al-Quds. Maybe Allah had another purpose for him. After all, hadn't everybody always said Yusuf was blessed? Surely nobody would consider dying on the trampled ground in front of the city gates a blessing. And then he remembered. He was not blessed at all. If Allah in his infinite wisdom had decreed Yusuf to live on, it would be a lonely life for Yusuf's soulmate. The one whose mark had been on his hand for 33 years was gone. Dead. In a motion that came automatically, muscle memory of years and years, Yusuf turned up the palm of his hand as he picked up his safe with the other and stared at where no mark was left. Only there it was. The crescent moon, as crisp and clear as it had always been. No, he murmured, forgetting for a moment the invader with his sword poised to strike. No, it cannot be. It faded. It was gone. You died. I know it. You died. Yes, the Frank snarled. I died. And I came back. And I will die infinite times. But so will you, demon. He surged, and Yusuf could do nothing better than stare at him. His soulmate had died. The mark had been lifted from his skin, and yet it was back, which could only mean his soulmate was alive. And this invader, he had died, and he was alive. It made no sense. None. Maybe it had all been a dream. Maybe the hunger had made him hallucinate. Maybe Yusuf was in Jahannam, and Allah was playing tricks on his mind, trying to drive him insane. Yusuf barely felt the sword penetrate his chest, piercing his heart. He kept staring at his opponent, now grinning wildly as Yusuf fell back in the mud. The last thought he had before everything went black again was that his soulmate's mark would fade for the second time today. Niccolo didn't feel any remorse, but he didn't gloat either. He had killed the demon, yes, but the demon would wake up and return the favor. He had no idea how long it would take, but maybe he would have enough time to find a water skin on one of the other bodies strewn about, or maybe just wipe his own blood from his face where it had started to crust and mat his hair. He lifted an arm, trying to find a piece of sleeve that wasn't ragged and wet with gore, but he found none. He sighed deeply. It seemed even such a small reprieve was not afforded to those sentenced to hell. He planted his sword into the ground next to him while he kept an eye on the demon's corpse, wiping his brow with the back of his right hand. It was pure coincidence he noticed it between the sweat and dirt. The sun on his skin was gone. For a brief moment, Niccolo murmured a prayer for his soulmate, until he realized the foolishness of praying in hell. Still, his soulmate deserved a prayer for their soul, so they might avoid Niccolo's fate and be allowed into heaven. He didn't notice amidst his turmoil that the demon had revived and seemed bent on exacting his revenge, reaching for his blade. Too late, he noticed the movement in the corner of his eye, and as he frantically tried to clasp his sword, his arm was cut off cleanly, and then another swipe of the safe cut through his belly, tearing the skin and spilling his organs. He was dead before he hit the ground. Yusuf turned up the palm of his hand as he watched the invader go down, and this time there was no gradual fading. The moon disappeared almost immediately. There one moment, gone the next. Yusuf stared at it and at the body in front of him, and he cursed to hell and high heaven. "A blessing," the whole village had cheered. "Such a beautiful soul mark, such luck." They should see him now, he thinks bitterly, unable to stay dead, with an invading Christian as a soulmate. What a blessing indeed. Not that he had much time to be angry, because the Frank's eyes suddenly opened. They were very big and bright, Yusuf noticed. Aquamarines in this world of mud and rusty blood and black soot. It soothed him, if only enough to bring him back from the brink of madness, to see some color in this bleak, gray world. "No more killing," he said hastily as the Frank's hand crawled to his sword. "No more killing. We are soulmates." At that, the eyes turned incredulous. "Impossible," the man retorted. Yusuf, emotions already frayed, felt rage threaten to boil at this callous rejection. But then the invader continued, "My soulmate, dead." "Ah, so he noticed his mark going too, did he?" "Look again," he urged. And the man miraculously either understood enough to obey or was simply compelled to reconfirm. Either way, he turned up the palm of his right hand. He gasped, and Yusuf, curious despite himself, despite the circumstances, stepped closer. It was hard to see in the dim light and with the blood stains, but the man furiously wiped over them with his thumb until the worst of the dirt was removed, and Yusuf could see for the first time which mark his soul had left on his soulmate's skin. A son, of course. Yusuf's mama always called him her little ray of sunshine. He was born around midsummer when the sun was at its highest, and it fitted. It fitted so well with the moon everybody always admired. There was no doubt left in his mind, though later, many years later, he would recall that he was terrified about what it all meant, about having found his soulmate opposite him on the battlefield, about sharing the strange affliction they seemed to suffer from. But all that was pushed to the background of his mind when the invader, his soulmate, carefully clasped Yusuf's hand and stared at the moon adorning it. Niccolo had to remember he was in hell. This demon was playing tricks on him, surely. He stared at the crescent moon, the radiant sun, and then, with an anguished scream, he plunged his dagger straight into the demon's heart. The demon stared up at him, eyes full of reproach and hurt, before they broke. And Niccolo's son disappeared at the exact same moment. He gasped. The man was his soulmate. Niccolo had met his soulmate. He had killed his soulmate 3 times. Suddenly, a wild panic came over him. What if the 3rd time was the final time? After all, Peter denied Jesus 3 times too, and Jesus fell 3 times under the cross. What if Niccolo had killed his soulmate, and he wouldn't revive? He scrambled to where the body of his soulmate laid and knelt next to him. He cradled the bloody man to his chest, and tears left tracks on his dirty cheeks as they rolled down freely. "Distati, distati," he sobbed. "Mi dispiace, please, distati." He lifted the man's palm to his mouth, uncaring of the mud and blood caked on it, and pressed a kiss to the moon etched on his soulmate's skin. His own palm, where his son should be, covered his soulmate's chest, right where the dagger had entered. It might have been minutes or hours, Niccolo wouldn't be able to say, but when his soulmate's eyes opened up, Niccolo cried again, this time in relief. "Mi dispiace," he pleaded. "Forgive me, cuore mio. Please forgive me." His tears fell on his hand, and his soulmate grabbed it, tracing the sun once again visible with a trembling finger. Then he took Nicola's hand, way gentler than Nicola deserved, and pressed their soul marks together. "Ya Amar," he whispered. And though Nicola did not understand the words, he could see the emotion in his soulmate's eyes. They stayed like that until the sun had gone down, and the trumpets sounded, and the battling armies retreated for the night. They stood up, as by common agreement. "Yusuf," Nicola's soulmate said, and Nicola replied with his own name and a shy smile. Yusuf smiled back, brighter than all suns Nicola had ever imagined. They fell in step seamlessly as they walked in the direction of the waxing moon. The end.